Hey, what's up, mandatory listeners? Thanks so much for rocking out with us. 2026, we just want to say thanks for everyone that's been a day one. If you're new to the show, though, make sure to hit that like and subscribe button if you like the content. We're also on the audio side. Wherever you find your shows and podcasts, you can find us there too. And obviously, I say this every time, but it helps the channel grow if you leave a rate and review, give us a 5-star, because we would always appreciate that. This is an interactive show, so please drop your comments. We will be getting to them. And Brian, this is the first of many on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. This is going to be our set time that we do every week. And this is something that we just wanted to put together because we've had a few shows where, you know, Brian and I are both very busy for work. We do a bunch of different things. So we figured out a good time, and we're going to be doing this every Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. on the East Coast. Brian, just your thoughts on our new time for the show.
If there are any conflicts, we will let you know ahead of time because we both live in busy areas. Sometimes just random construction, although I feel like this would be more of a thing maybe in the spring, but we're going to try our best to keep it to one consistent time. It's just going to be easier for everybody. And that doesn't include the post-fight lives, which will still be happening for cards that are worthy of it and when we're able to be around. Obviously, that won't be this weekend.
Yeah.
But the first post-fight live show, I do suspect that we'll have one this month before the end of the month.
Yeah. And you know what? Let us know if there's post-fight shows that you want us to do as well, if it's like a nerd fight, because Brian and I love the nerd fights. That's what we're actually most excited about most of the time. So yeah, let us know, and we might be able to do that. Also, at some point of the year, I think we're going to do like a mailbag show. We've been talking about this. And yeah, so I think later on this year, maybe in June, we'll be doing that. But if you guys want it earlier, we could do that as well. But this is the official 2026 pound for pound list. We did ours last year. And Brian, should we go through our list last year before we get to our new list for 2026?
We should. Okay. So we'll start with yours. This is a reminder of what you had, because last time we did this was actually, I checked, it was May 19th. So a little over half a year ago. But not quite a full year ago. So this would have been after, in a way, Cardenas, that Times Square card, Canelo School. Somebody else fought around that time after that we waited on. Could have been in a way.
The Times Square card.
Yeah, yeah. So all those things. When did Usyk fight Dubois? Was it around that time?
I don't know, but that was crazy.
So here was your pound for pound list. You had one Usyk, two Inoue, three Crawford. Crawford's retired now, so we did not include him. We'll mention that. And that makes for some interesting movement potentially at the end. So you had Usyk, Inoue, Crawford, four Bivol, five Better Biev, six Bam Rodriguez, seven Canelo, eight David Benavidez, nine Teofimo Lopez, and 10 Tank. I have a feeling you're going to make a couple changes here. Okay.
A couple. Yeah. There are some familiar names on this list, but for the most part, I kind of have like my number 10, people are going to probably be like, what? This makes no sense. But my number 10 last year, people were mad. So that's the thing. People are like, how did you put Tank? I just want to say right now, should we do our honorable mentions?
At the end. I think at the end.
We could talk about
here's who we left off, whatever. Yeah. Cause we're gonna go from one to ten. My pound for pound list from when we did this in May. add Usyk first, Inoue second, Crawford third, Bivol, Bam Rodriguez fifth, better BF six, Nakatani seven, Canelo eight, Benavidez nine, and Oscar Collazo 10th.
I really want to see. I don't think so because I think a lot of people had Collazo at 10. I think Ring Magazine has Collazo at 10 right now.
They do actually. Look at that. Look at that. Me and Ring Magazine, this version of Ring Magazine, agreeing
on Oscar Collazo. Yeah. For sure. So let's, before we get to that, let's just give a quick shout out to our good friend of the show, Jesus, who says, saludos, happy new year, 2026. Also, he's saying that Subra Matias will get the TKO late this weekend. And he asked, Chantel, do you want to see AJ to retire for good right now or rehab mentally, come back to finish off? I think AJ can do whatever he wants. And he's going through something so tough right now that I wouldn't even rush to come back. He was also in a car accident that was absolutely fatal, lost two of his friends. So that's that mental aspect, but we don't know how he's doing physically. So I wouldn't be mad or upset if he retired. I don't think he has anything else to prove. And if he decides to come back, then he might come back. Sometimes I feel like boxers are like rappers, where they say they're going to retire and then they don't really want to. You know, they always talk about, I would fight this person
all the time.
Yeah, so there's always those like dream fights, but nonetheless, yeah. Do you want to answer that AJ question as well?
I mean, his situation is different. So, like, he finally just posted today for the first time in a while. I just think that it doesn't matter. like, he can do what he wants. In terms of whether or not I want to see him back, I'm just like, I don't care. I'd like for him to take care of the personal things he has to take care of, because evidently, you know, he's probably going to help plan funerals. He might pay for them. He's, you know, a whole bunch of family members from both sides that he's got to keep in contact with, check up on them, make sure they're doing well, his family, their families, all that stuff. So hopefully we get him versus Tyson Fury at some point, but I understand if AJ never wants to box again, and we don't know if he can because we don't know the extent of his injuries from this accident either. So that's the other thing. But all the best to AJ. And yeah, if he doesn't fight again, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Here's the thing, though. I think we're going to be finding out pretty soon what he's going to do, but no rush for him there. All right, well, let's get right into it. This is our official 2026 pound for pound list. We're going from 1 to 10. And remember, this is an interactive show. So if you disagree, if you have your own pound for pound list, we want to see it. So drop it in the comments. Brian, we'll start off with you. You're number one on the pound for pound list. Who do you have?
Okay, so last time I had Oleksandr Usyk, and once again, I have Oleksandr Usyk. So no surprises here. He beat Daniel Dubois last year. That was it. But, I mean, leading up to it, you can flip. Look, he fought once, in a way fought four times. You could make the move if you want, but you have to consider when making these pound for pound lists, the body of work. Like, we're not just sitting here being like, okay, ranking our top 10. Like, you're adjusting your previous top 10 and your previous top 10 and your previous top 10 from the other times that we've done this. And honestly, if you're like if you really follow the sport, you probably have a running pound for pound list going. So do leave yours in the comments as we're doing this. But Usyk, for me, he was number one, and I don't see any reason to knock him off other than maybe Inoue's activity. But I still think Usyk, like, look at who he beat, how he beat them leading up to this. Daniel Dubois twice, but also, you know, a while back, Anthony Joshua twice, Tyson Fury twice. Like, yeah. And I'm excited to see, like, okay, what's going to be next. It seems like it's going to be Deontay Wilder. It feels like Oleksandr Usyk is like wanting to fight Deontay Wilder, even though Deontay Wilder is not Deontay Wilder, but this feels like a bucket list item for him where he's just like, yo, I've always wanted to do this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like me, for example, I've always wanted to go to Spain. So last year I went to Spain. Like, this is what it is. Like, I've always wanted to fight Deontay Wilder. Now I'm going to fight Deontay Wilder. Maybe it seems like that could be next. So whatever, but look, I think he's the best pound for pound right now. And I think there's only one other person that has like a serious claim for this.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people on their pound for pound list would have Usyk or Inoue. I just have recency bias. I'm putting Inoue number one because he has fought four times this year and he always fights the best in his class, regardless on in terms of competition. You're fighting four times a year. You're one of the best boxers in the world. You've won titles in four different weight classes. You continue to dominate. People were saying Akhmadaliev might have your card. Nope, he definitely didn't. You know, I struggled a little bit against Cardenas, was arguably one of the fights of the year. Faced some trials and tribulations in that fight, came out on top. Like, Inoue continues to prove this every year, and it's his activity that made me place him above Oleksandr Usyk, who of course then is my number two. Oleksandr Usyk, nobody thought he was going to knock out Daniel Dubois. People were betting on Daniel Dubois to knock out Oleksandr Usyk, and we all go back to that first fight, you know, that low blow. Listen, it doesn't faze Oleksandr Usyk. Cleaned out the cruiserweight division and has dominated in the heavyweight division. I keep on saying this. He is the best heavyweight of this generation, that hats off to Oleksandr Usyk. But it's really tough when you have, when you had the three kings of this era in Bud, Inoue, and Usyk. But now Bud having retired, it's really just Usyk in a way. But I switched it this year, Brian. And for me, the activity is important. The activity is really important. You usually don't see the top fight, the top fighters in the world fight four times. And Inoue fights four times a year. The amount of activity and the way that he's fighting, it's second to none, you know? And so that's why I have to place Naoya Inoue at number one on the pound for pound list. Number two, Oleksandr Usyk.
And I have Inoue second. So yeah, I think, yeah. And last time I had Inoue second also, I didn't move it. Look, maybe I should have. Maybe he should be number one pound for pound now because of the year he had. And I did have him as boxer of the year, and I'm forgetting what else, but
I don't think it matters, man. I honestly don't think it matters if you have Usyk or Inoue number one. It's just like, it's literally subjective of, because you could place it either way. Like, I struggled with that. I was like, I'm gonna change it this year, and it just came down to activity for me. That's it, because I think you know how much I like Usyk, so it's pretty obvious what we did there. So you're number three, Brian. Is there a little bit of a switch here for you?
And the last thing I would say is I just think Usyk also has beaten slightly better competition, even though, like, relative to Inoue's weight class, he's beaten the best guys. You can only fight who you fight.
Yeah.
Right. But I think the best guys are better at heavyweight than the best guys are in Usyk's weight class, in Inoue's weight class. Because, like, AJ Hall of Famer, Tyson Fury Hall of Famer, Daniel Dubois, I'm not going to say Hall of Famer, but very good, like, championship level type of heavyweight, who we may see again at some point in the championship picture. As long as he doesn't party before big fights. Number three, moving up to the top three for the first time, Dmitry Bivol for me. This was Crawford, and then he beat Canelo, and then people were putting him at number one, which I think makes sense because Canelo would have been on many pound for pound lists before that fight, and I think he still is on some people's pound for pound lists after that. We'll see if he makes ours, but Bivol three, body of work. He's been inactive. He looks like he's going to fight the IBF mandatory Eifert next in April when he comes back from back surgery. So don't know if he's going to fight more than once this year. We'll see if he does fight early enough in the year. April has been reportedly a target. Then down the line, maybe you could see him fight again in September, October, November, or something along those lines. So we'll see what type of year Bivol has. But to me, it's clearly him. You have to factor in the wins over Ramirez, the wins over Canelo, and obviously the better BF fights. I think he won both. He actually won one. I think he won both. So to me, Dmitry Bivol is also undefeated. And honestly, if he gets both better BF wins, like, there's a conversation to be had about, like, oh, does he actually crack the top two? I don't think so, but he has a hell of a resume right now. He's building a Hall of Fame resume. So Bivol's
I think he already has. I think he already has a Hall of Fame resume, in my opinion.
Probably.
I think Bivol does. And it to be honest, your number three last year was Bud Crawford, and your number four was Bivol. So it only makes sense for you to move Bivol up.
Right.
So for my number three, I actually have Jesse Bam Rodriguez, and he was, I believe, a little bit lower. Number six, I had him last year. But Jesse Bam Rodriguez, he is a two division world champion. He fought Martinez, beat him by knockout, and he also fought Cafu earlier this year. Cafu was always going to be a tough, tricky fight. He ended up winning by TKO in that one, and he continues to impress in his weight class, and he's trying to become undisputed at 115. And when you think about those lower weight classes, Bam Rodriguez is an absolute superstar, and he kind of has that superstar aura too. I mean, he can sell out Frostbank Center in San Antonio. He can do this. I mean, his fight against Cafu was in Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. He's a guy that has cachet to his name. And for me, he's bumped up for me. I think he's one of the best fighters in the world. And I have him sitting there at number three. Number four, Brian, for you. Unless you have a rebuttal on me putting Bam Rodriguez that high.
It's Bam Rodriguez. I think... because I have Bam Rodriguez fourth. I'm just thinking about you putting him third ahead of Bivol. And I feel like... has he done enough to be third?
He does. I think he has, because I'm also taking into account that Bivol didn't beat Beterbiev in that first fight. Regardless of what Bivol took the L, and Bam Rodriguez is undefeated, going for undisputed. And so I know, like, for me, all my favorite fighters have L's. But for me, that's why Bam went ahead of Bivol. And we still need the trilogy fight. Like, we need the trilogy fight to say who is the actual winner from those two. You know what I mean? Like, I need that third fight. So that's what it kind of depends for me. So, yeah. I do have Bivol number four, if you wanted to know. Right. Bivol is my number four.
We have the same guys in different orders. Yeah. It's kind of the trend. I think... so my hope is we do actually get the rematch between Beterbiev and Bivol. Like Bivol is coming back. It's a back surgery, right? So I'm not running into a Beterbiev fight coming off of back surgery, coming off of a year-long layoff and over a year soon, like in a month. So I'm hoping that they circle back. Beterbiev was actually supposed to fight toward the end of last year. Yeah. So we got to see what's up with him also. And he's in his 40s already, so... Beterbiev probably, I don't know how much he has left.
And he was fighting with a bad knee. Remember, he had gotten a little bit of surgery on his knee in that second Bivol fight. So there's that as well. And so it'll be interesting to see. I still hope he's still fighting at the same level, but he did win that first fight against Bivol, and that's why I got Bivol at number four.
Yeah. So and Bam at fourth. Look, he beat Estrada 2 years ago. He beat Fernando Martinez last year. We thought Fernando Martinez would do something, and he didn't. But maybe that's testament to how good Bam is. I feel like the top four is pretty easy, and you could put it in whatever order. And yeah. I don't think you'd be wrong. I mean, I wouldn't have Bam number one yet. But, I mean, check back in at the end of the year.
I don't know if that moves for me, man. Like, I don't. If anything, I might put Usyk back, like, on top, unless Usyk retires. And that's the thing. Like, we don't even know if Usyk has anything left to prove at this point.
Yeah. And then if you're someone like me who has Usyk 1 and Inoue 2, and let's say Inoue demolishes Nakatani and Usyk, Deontay Wilder was actually better in that fight than we thought. Usyk won. He still beat him, but, you know, and then it's going to be like, now it might be time for me to flip them two, because Nakatani, unlike dudes Inoue fought last year, Nakatani's a pound-for-pound guy for a lot of people, like a top 10 pound-for-pound guy. So I think we revisit this, I think, in 6 months or something like that, and it'll be interesting to see what changes we have.
All right, so your number four was Bam. So you might, and we kind of just did the switch there, so you might as well just give your number six right here. Oh, wait, your number five. Yeah.
Five would be Artur Beterbiev still. Like, it was a close loss to Bivol. I think he lost the fight, both of them. And he did lose the last one. I do think they were pretty close. And Beterbiev still, from a resume standpoint, he has a better resume than all these other guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, than all the other guys potentially left or as good as, you know, for the most part. We haven't seen him since February. We have to see him again. I can't justify moving him down too much further.
Yeah.
And you have, like, the Callum Smith win, Anthony Yard Marcus Brown Vosdick, actually, where he had to come from behind and stop him toward the end. So sort of building up over the years. And then obviously, like, as much as I think he didn't win the Bivol fight, the first one, he did win it. Like, he did actually get the win for that. Like, the judges gave him the decision. And it was a close fight. Second fight was close too. I think Bivol edged out on both. But I think Beterbiev, yeah, like, he should be on your pound-for-pound list still. I think in the 5, 6, 7 range or whatever. I have a feeling he may drop during a year, especially if he fights Bivol again, but I still think he's one of the best pound for pound guys in the sport.
Yeah, and Beterbiev was my number 5. He was my number 5 last year. He's my number 5 now for all the reasons Brian just said, and I think it just comes to inactivity and we just want the trilogy fight. So there's that. Yeah. I might as well just give my number 6 then. Yeah. So my number 6 is David the Monster Benavidez, because he's a two division world champ, and he just, you know, won against Anthony Yard by TKO in the 7th round. David Morrell and David Benavidez, that fight, I was like, I don't know who's gonna win. He dominated David Morrell in that fight, and I think a lot of people, and don't get me wrong, David Morrell is really good. He's really young though. So you know, it's going to come down to experience. But David Benavidez continues to prove that he's one of the best. And when you take a look at his knockout ratio as well, before then he beat Vosdick, I think, in 2024. He's only fighting like 2 times a year now, but like most of the big names, you're fighting once or twice a year. And we're probably going to see him again pretty soon coming up. I believe on Mexican Independence Weekend. That's what we're... Or no, Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo is what we're hearing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, not official yet, of course. But we'll see. I hope that's the case. He's talking about moving up to cruiserweight, which...
Yeah.
Okay. I mean
there's nobody at cruiserweight that scares me. And
I have no doubt he can make the weight. There's one dude at cruiserweight that scares me.
Wait, who's that?
Jairo Pitaya.
Yeah, he had my knockout of the year just a few weeks ago. Yeah, right. But but I just,
he had multiple contenders for knockout of the year last year.
And David Benavidez is a weight bully, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like he's also skilled. Like, that's why I really like him. He's undefeated and he's risen through the ranks. I want to know if I even had him last year on my list. I don't know if I did.
I just had it up here, but we have to edit it. I do think you had him. Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did. You definitely had him on the list. Look, he's my number 6. No,
so we both have a number 7. Six.
He's my number 7, actually. I have somebody else at number 6. I don't know if the person I have at 6 is somebody. Like, you didn't have this person in your pound for pound list at all yet.
Okay, I already know who it is then, because he's my number 7 this season.
Junzo Nakatani?
Yeah, he's my number 7.
Okay, so we have to say
yeah.
See, this is why we go 1 to 10, because shit won't get shaken up until like later on. We're getting to the point where we're going to start having some different people, but I do have Nakatani and then Benavidez, because unifications, he's going to move up in weight and fight in a way now. That's going to be interesting. Dominated at bantamweight, although his last fight struggled a little bit against Sebastian Hernandez. That being said, I do think that he is a pound for pound. He's a pound for pound guy. He's built a pretty good, like really good resume at this point in terms of the level of competition. Has some amazing knockouts against Andrew Maloney and Vincent Astrolabio and David Cuellar, as a matter of fact. So I think Nakatani right now, heading into this Inoue fight, I won't say his stock is down, but it's probably stagnant a little bit based on his last performance. But I think given what we know about Inoue, he's become a little riskier. And I do wonder if Nakatani can push him. I think I've always thought Inoue would win that fight, and I'm a little more confident in that now. But there is a part of me where it's like, yo, if Inoue just feels like engaging in a war, because Inoue feels like one of these guys who's like, the reason he loses at some point, if he does, is because he just said, you know what, fuck it, I want to brawl, and then it just comes back to bite him. If he does that in this fight, that could be very dangerous. But I think Nakatani's pound for pound level. And shout out to Japan. I think you have two of the top six pound for pound boxers in the world. There's another one or two who I think could make this list at some point within the next couple of years, few years. So yeah, I have Nakatani six, and then Benavidez seven. For the reasons you mentioned, Dave Benavidez is building a nice resume here. After a while, you know, people had criticized his resume early on. Who is he beating? Whatever. And I think we started to see that shift once he fought Caleb Plant. Yeah. Because up until that point, you're looking at like Anthony Durrell, an older David Lemieux, so on and so forth. But since then, Caleb Plant, this is from 2023 till now, Caleb Plant, Bubu Andrade, Vozdick, who was a tough fight for him, David Morrell, who were both probably higher on the consensus, and then Anthony Yard, who he beat more convincingly than anybody else. And Anthony Yard, you know, he did fight Artur Beterbiev, for example. So I was super impressed with the Anthony Yard performance, because Anthony Yard is a big puncher and Dave Benavidez like just kind of walked through him and destroyed him. So if he goes to cruiserweight and is successful up there, that's going to be interesting for us to sort of process. Because this is a guy who's a super middleweight moving up to the 200 pound limit. If he beats Zerto Ramirez, who has a fight coming up, then I'm going to have to look into, okay, he might be a top five guy now, because this is a pound for pound list after all.
Yeah, I think we just had them switch. I mean, okay, so your number six is Nakatani. Your number seven is David Benavidez. My number six is David Benavidez. My number seven is Junto Nakatani. I didn't even have him on my list last year, and people were like really, really angry about it, but it was just a controversial list. Obviously, this year it might be controversial again while we get down to number 10. But I will say for Junto Nakatani, he is highly skilled and he's a tricky southpaw and he has power. He's a 3-division world champion. Like, this guy has done it all, and we just need to see the fight between him and Inoue. That's what we need to see. And here's the thing. Like, I have Bam at number 3. I don't think we're ever going to get Inoue and Bam, but I do think we're going to get Nakatani and Bam. We're going to get that fight.
I'm not so sure we're not getting Inoue and Bam at some point. I'm closer to you, where I'm like way less confident than the public, who seem to think like, oh, this fight definitely has to happen. And I'm like, why? You know, like,
well, the reason why I say that is because Inoue is getting sneakily older. Bam is in a different weight class than him. Is Inoue going to move up? Right? Like, we got to think weight classes. I think it's more likely that Bam fights Nakatani. And Nakatani is, listen, he's one of the best fighters in the world. And we're supposedly getting him and Inoue. And so we're going to see who's better. But Nakatani is a little bit younger. He's got pop, and you know, everybody has questionable performances. Not his best performance, but he still got it done. Still undefeated.
The only thing I would say is, because Inoue and Bam have Riyadh season partnerships, there could come a time where them dudes just put up all the money for Inoue and Bam to just meet somewhere and fight. Like, it weight class wise, Bam would have to make a big jump, which I think supports your point as to we don't know if this is going to happen, and it may not, because Bam has to come up multiple weight classes, and then it becomes a third weight class if Inoue decides to try out featherweight, which you and I are proponents of, following the Nakatani fight, like staying at the featherweight division potentially and making a go at that point, which may be where he caps out. But Bam Rodriguez right now is a super flyweight. So, like, he not even close to featherweight right now. And Nakatani would be moving up from 118 to 122 to fight Inoue.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't even know if Bam's going to move up anytime soon to 118. We don't know
that. Here's the thing is, like, I think it's more likely we could even see Nakatani move back down just to fight Bam. Like, I just think that fight's going to happen. I'm believing that fight's going to happen. And I think
you can get it, which helps.
Yes. And I think we could get it like early 2027.
Maybe. The wild card for me is just the Saudis, because they have all the part. They're locked in with all three of these dudes on some level. Look, evidently Bivol just said, you know, fuck it. And it doesn't seem like he's going to be fighting there anymore. Like, you know, more guys are going to be doing that, I believe. So we'll see. Boxing's in a weird place. That's a conversation that is going to be ongoing in 2026. We'll see how sustainable that Riyadh season model is going to be. Okay. So far, let's just actually brief recap. So far, your pound for pound top seven, because we're going to do our last three spots. You have an order, in a way. Number one, Usyk number two, Bam number three, Bivol four, Beterbiev five, Benavidez six, Nakatani seven. And I have a very similar list, slightly different orders. One Usyk, two Inoue, three Bivol, four Bam, five Beterbiev, six Nakatani, seven Benavidez. All right, so you're going to kick off our final three spots. This is where... this is where I think it really gets interesting, because I have questions as to how much overlap we're going to have with the remaining three.
Ooh, I don't think anyone's going to have my number 10. I don't think anyone's going to have my number 10, and I'm putting him on the number.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Number 10, but you guys are going to have to wait for that. Just gonna tease that. That's what they call it in school, which I didn't do a good job over there. All right, so really? My number eight. What's a little surprising?
What kind of a student were you?
In college or in high school?
Okay, what?
Because they're very different. Actually, I don't know if it was much different in college. I don't actually, because it's like broadcast journalism. Like, you know, like how hard do you really have to try? Anyways. it's all based on performance, and obviously you have to be able to write, but anyways, that's not the point. My number eight is Teofimo Lopez. He is the best 140 pounder in the world. He has one of the best resumes in boxing, and he continues to prove it. We're gonna find out how good he really is in a couple of weeks when he takes on Shakur Stevenson. But Teofimo Lopez to me is in that number eight spot. You take a look at his resume, and we could actually go through his resume, and you'd be like, wow, I know there's that one little stain on it in terms of George Kambosos Jr. But like I said, all my favorite boxers have L's, and he did not take that fight seriously, but he has continued to prove how great he is. And I think his best win still is probably Josh Taylor. At 140 pounds. And he just recently beat Arnold Barbosa Jr. And he dominated him. Like, let's be serious here, right? Like, at one point, I was saying that Barbosa could maybe beat Teofimo Lopez. And when they got in the ring, it wasn't a match for Teo. When he is focused, he is one of the best boxers in the world. If he can get it done against Shakur Stevenson, I think he would jump up in the top five for me, Brian. But that's just me. I would do something crazy like that. But for me, Teofimo Lopez is my number eight. And I wish we could kind of bring up his resume on the screen. I don't know.
Okay.
We
could absolutely do that.
Because I, like, when I take a look at his resume, and I said this about Anthony Joshua, he has one of the best resumes in boxing. He's 22-1, 13 of those wins coming by way of knockout. And we kind of got to go all the way back. Let's go back to Nakatani. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go because this is when it all really began for me. So if we go a little bit down in Nakatani, this is when we really just started to see Teo do his thing. So as Brian does so well with the screen sharing,
we have Teofimo Lopez's resume. So the Shakur Stevenson fight's coming up. Last year, just fought once against Arnold.
Well, I don't think I can hear you, Brian. Did you mute yourself?
Oh,
whoops. There we go. We want to hear you.
Cash it. Teofimo Lopez So he's fighting Shakur Stevenson next. It didn't occur to me that he fought once last year until I just looked at it. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He only fought against Artem Barbosa last year, which was a fight. More disappointed in Artem Barbosa just not really pushing it. Then especially considering how long he waited for that opportunity, how much he talked about it, and then kind of like disappointed. Teofimo Lopez has fought just once last calendar year, but also before that, Steve Claggett and Jermaine Ortiz. So three forgettable performances, I would say, in the 2 years leading up to this. And yet, one, Jermaine Ortiz is very good, and we're going to see him fight against Keyshawn Davis on the Teofimo Lopez Stevenson card, which is really interesting.
He better get active. He better throw them hands, Brian. Jermaine Ortiz is a very skilled tactician.
I'm not so convinced that Keyshawn Davis is going to just bulldoze him. You know what I mean?
I don't think he knocks him out. I don't think he knocks him out. I think it's going to be a tricky fight for Keyshawn. I'll say that. Jermaine Ortiz is a good fighter. I'm actually very high on him. I don't like how he's getting fed now to these prospects that are supposed to be something. But I want you to scroll down on this resume, and I want you to go to Miyoshi Nakatani, because this is, if you go a little, you gotta go a little bit down, because we're gonna start at the beginning of Teofimo's rise, right? So Masayoshi Nakatani at the time was undefeated, and Teofimo Lopez had a great performance against him, right? Wins by unanimous decision. Then he fights Richard Comey, knocks him the hell out, okay? Knocks him out cold. And he did it in great fashion. Then he finally gets his chance to fight Vasily Lomachenko. He was not supposed to win that fight. At the time, Vasily Lomachenko was regarded as arguably pound for pound number one. Teofimo Lopez is the only one that has done it convincingly. So not only do you have Nakatani, you have Richard Comey, who, by the way, like, this guy is a former champ. Then you have Vasily Lomachenko. Then you get really high on yourself. You know, there's some stuff going outside the ring. You lose to George Kambosos. Okay, I understand what happened there, right? Then you're like, you know what? F it. I'm going to move up. I'm going to go to 140 pounds. He fights Pedro Campa, and he gets his first knockout it was a TKO victory at 140 pounds. And we haven't seen him do that since. But then he fought a Sandor Martin. Sandor Martin is one of the trickiest fighters that you could fight. Mm-hmm. He's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And that was a split decision, was it, Brian? Yeah. And so that
barely won that, but he won.
Yeah. And I think he literally just got it done. But even I was questioning if he won that fight. Like, I think I told you that I had to watch it five times to see if Teo won. And the fifth time I watched it, he did. Josh Taylor was undisputed. Okay. And I know people are going to say he's not the same Josh Taylor, but because he dealt with so many injuries, but he dominated Josh Taylor in that fight. Josh Taylor was undefeated. Like, what are we talking about here? Then he beats a tricky Jermaine Ortiz. People didn't like that fight because they say that Jermaine Ortiz ran and it wasn't very entertaining. It was kind of a snooze fest. Then he beat Steve Claggett, my fellow Canadian, who's tough as hell. Okay. Don't sleep on Steve Claggett. But it was kind of a dead of a performance, right? Arnold Barbosa Jr., regardless of how boring that Times Square card was, he handled Arnold Barbosa Jr. And at that time, I didn't know who he was going to fight. Arnold Barbosa Jr., a former champ as well. So when I take a look at that resume, Teofimo Lopez has one of the best boxing resumes, hands down. Nobody else in his weight class has a resume like this, Brian.
So my number eight is actually Shakur Stevenson. So here.
This is interesting. Okay. So you have him ahead of Teo. Okay.
I had, yes. There's no blemish on his resume yet. I would say, in totality, Teofimo Lopez has had a better resume. I think Shakur has had a better resume lately, given, William Zepeda preference.
I think it's just the Zepeda fight for me that is okay, that's a name. Because everybody else on his resume, I'm like, ah, whatever. Well, Jamel Herring, okay. You know what I mean?
No, Jamel Herring is a good win.
No, that's it. But that's all I'm saying is I think it's just Zepeda and Oscar Valdez.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Yes. I mean, I think Edwin De Los Santos was good. I just think that fight was bad. But I think Edwin De Los Santos is absolutely a better win than Artem Hartsounian and Josh Padley. And Josh Padley, look, it was supposed to be Floyd Schofield, and Floyd Schofield pulled out, and Shakur Stevenson, funny enough, was like, you're going to pull out of this fight, and he did. Like, I know Schofield has that one knockout over Tevin Farmer in the first round, which everyone's excited about, but I'm still kind of like, I need to see something. You know what I mean? I just need to see something. But he's highly ranked right now, if you look at the rankings, highly ranked. But regardless, yeah, I have Shakur here. The Williams Zepeda performance, I mean, this is a guy who was a mandatory, who was an interim champion, and was also like top five consensus in all the sanctioning bodies. And he handled him and even tried to make it an entertaining fight deliberately. And then at some point you realize, oh, Williams Zepeda is not actually like a huge puncher. He's a volume puncher, and Shakur Stevenson figured him out. And then it was just a masterclass performance. And I think there's titles in multiple weight classes. There's a unification. The Oscar Valdez win is still like a great one. I thought Shirishiro Yoshino would actually give him some measure of problems once he moved up to lightweight. And that didn't happen because he just fucking destroyed him and knocked him out. Conceição's pretty good too. So there's less here lately, but I think he's done enough to be a pound for pound top 10 guy. I barely had him off the list last time, and that was before the Zepeda win. So maybe I'm overrating the Zepeda win. I don't know. But I also think in looking at the list in totality, like, yeah, I think he's done enough to be in the top 10. Some people had him in the top 10 before Padley, before Hartsounian, whatever. And I think if he beats Teofimo Lopez, which he's slightly favored to do, then the winner is going to have a case to be in people's top five of this fight.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have Teofimo Lopez on the pound for pound list at all, which I think some people won't, but he's like right there. I think at the very least, he's like 11, 12.
It's crazy to me. Like, I think if you don't have Teofimo Lopez on your list, you're a hater. He's the best at 140 pounds. You're an absolute hater if you don't have Teofimo Lopez on your list. I'll say that. My number nine is Shakur Stevenson. For all the reasons we just said, I think Teo actually has a better resume than him. I'll say that. And I think there are a few highlights to Shakur Stevenson's resume, and that is obviously Zepeda, Oscar Valdez, and Jamel Herring. To me, those are the three. But I think when I take a look at Teofimo Lopez's resume, like, other than Devin Haney, like, nobody has Lomachenko. But it also, like, Nakatani was that dude. Richard Comey was that dude. Then he beats Vasily Lomachenko. Like, he's just done it in every weight class. We were talking about how good Arnold Barbosa is. And if Arnold Barbosa could make, you know, put his name in, throw his name in the hat for being the best at 140 pounds, Teo dominated. Like, I expected more from Barbosa. And I'm a big Barbosa fan. I expected more from Barbosa, but I think maybe it was just came down to skill, and Teo's just that much better. Because when Teofimo Lopez is focused, he's the best. But back to Shakur Stevenson, for all the reasons that Brian said, it's hard to leave him off a pound for pound list. And I've said on this show, I actually don't think anyone's going to beat Shakur Stevenson. So I do expect to have this changed, this setting that I have right now with Teofimo number 8 and Shakur Stevenson number 9. If Shakur gets it done against Teo, he's obviously going to pass him on this list. But if Teo can beat Shakur, he's gonna land for number 5. Like, he's gonna be like 5 for me, and I'll tell you that right now, because like I've said, I don't know if anyone's gonna beat Shakur. He's that good. The only reason why Teo's ahead of him is because I think Teo has the better resume. That's all.
And ultimately, this will get decided in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're joining. Like, and if Brian isn't at the fight, like, we'll still figure that out. Then we'll probably do a post fight show. We have to.
Honestly, I'd rather.
You don't know if you're going to go.
I'd rather do the post-fight show, if I'm being honest. We'll figure it out.
You actually might have my number 10, by the way. I don't know. I just
going to fights is not what it used to be. Going to cover fights is absolutely not what it used to be. It is for like the YouTube videographers. Like it's great for them, and I'm happy for them. But ultimately, it's not what it used to be. I'm not going to go on this rant right now. Okay, my number 9 was my number 10 last time. So Oscar Collazo is back. And look, people will be like, oh, like why isn't it this person? Why isn't it like Teofimo Lopez, who we just talked about, and just leading up to it? Spotless resume. And also has been WBO minimum weight champion for a couple years now. So there's like a resume built in. He was 6-0 when he won his first title. He became 7-0 when he won his first title. He's 13-0 now. He just keeps defending his title. And he's clearly the best in this 105-pound weight class. Melvin Jerusalem in 2020. You have Garen Diagan after that. Reynetis Gutierrez in 2024. Gerardo Zapata. And then here, I mean, listen. Knockout CP Freshmart, I thought was going to give him a tough test. That did not happen. He was undefeated at the time, and Collazo just destroyed him. I think this is what put him on the radar for some diehards, and this was in Riyadh also, so you know people saw it, obviously. Then you have the Edwin Cano Hernandez fight. That was kind of a stay-busy-ish fight, but also he went to Mexico and beat Cano in Mexico, and then Jason Vaisen after, which is one of the funniest names in boxing, I think, Jason Vaisen. This was in September of last year, right around the time Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford fought and destroyed him. So he's just destroying everybody. He's not really losing rounds. And this is a pound-for-pound list, so you always have to account for every weight class. And when you have a guy who's really dominant in one of the lighter weight classes, just because people may not know everyone in these lighter weight classes, doesn't make them any less of a pound for pound guy. So he's kind of like Puerto Rico's Chocolatito right now. And I think he's going to rise up these rankings. It's just a matter of, okay, how far is he going to push it? Because he's at 105 now. I mean, this is the weight class. He's already beaten a few of these top guys here, like Vaisen, for example, and like Melvin Jerusalem, who's the number 2 on BoxRec. If he moves up to the light flyweight division, which some people are hoping for, there's some interesting fights here. Rene Santiago, who has a fight coming up, is one of the better guys in this weight class. You could do that in Puerto Rico, and it could probably sell out. Eric Badillo's here. Sergio Alfonso Mendoza is also here. And then if he eventually goes up to flyweight, like there are some fights for him here as well. So I'm excited to see what Collazo can do in 2026, but I think he's pound for pound level good. And I think he's one of the most under-discussed guys in the sport, even amongst the diehards. Yeah. And let's be real, only diehards talk about the sport at this point. And he's one of the most just underrated dudes in the sport right now.
So we're going to get to, is that your number 9, Oscar?
That's
Collazo?
My number 9. Yeah. So we both have number 10s that we have to go through.
All right. Well, I think people are going to be upset about Oscar Collazo's not on my list. He was my number 11.
That's fine. Just, I think that's fine. I don't think he's on a lot of people's lists.
He just missed the cut. And I would have put him on my number 10 because I had him on number 10 and then I erased his name because I'm like, Brian's going to have him number 10. So I just erased it. And I put one of my guys on the list. I really want to get to honorable mentions because there's a few people I left off my list. Number 10 was controversial last year for me. Number 10 is going to be controversial for me now. My number 10 on the pound for pound list, and he's probably not on anybody's pound for pound list, is Rafael Espinoza. He's 28-0. He has 24 knockouts. And he's beating everybody in great fashion, right? He just fought Kagai, won by TKO in the 11th round. Before then, he fought Edward Vasquez, and he won by TKO in the 7th round, right? He is he's the WBO featherweight world champion. And when you take a look at his resume, like when he fought Robezi Ramirez, he was not supposed to beat him. He was the underdog in that fight. He beat him twice. Like, Rafael Espinoza is arguably the best in his weight class until somebody proves to me that he isn't. And he's making noise for that pound-for-pound list. And the only reason why I had him ahead of Oscar Collazo is because of the number of fights. That's what it really came down to. It's because of the number of fights. Brian, let's move a little bit down here. I really want to get into this resume here because I think he has a pretty decent resume. And Brian just said, just because it's the lighter weight classes doesn't really take away from anything. It's how he's doing this is what is so impressive. Like when we used to talk about how great Bud was when he was just like stopping everybody or knocking out everybody, it's because that's how good he was at welterweight. This is how good Rafael Espinoza is. And I feel like he's one of the best boxers in the world. So as I mentioned, in 2024, he takes on Ribeiro Ramirez. He was not a favorite in that fight. So he wins the WBO World Feather, and he has since then held on to that, and he has defended that title, and he's won every time in great fashion by TKO victory. Like, it's just so impressive. I think he's defended it like what, like four or five times since Ribeiro Ramirez. And Ramirez was like, give me the rematch. That didn't matter. Just saying.
So we have the Ramirez fight, the first one from 2023, a fight that you and I fucking loved. Like, like we were like, yo, because Rafael Espinoza at that point had only fought in Mexico except for one time. He comes out, he drops him, he gets dropped in the 12th round, hangs on, does enough to win. It was a tremendous, tremendous fight, like a fight, like a true fight of the year contender.
Yeah, go back and watch it. I've actually rewatched that fight like a ton of times, and it's like one of the best fights.
It's really great. Good. It's one of the best top ranked fights that they put on ESPN during their deal. Sergio Sanchez, he destroys him. Ribeiro Ramirez in the rematch. Again, Ribeiro competitive in that fight, but Rafael Espinoza just gets him out of here in round six. Edward Vasquez, Arnold Kagai. Now, I'm hoping this is the year that we see him fight Bruce Carrington. There's some interesting... Bruce Carrington has a fight coming up. We'll see what this looks like for Rafael Espinoza. As a matter of fact, we have Bruce Carrington. He's fighting for a vacant featherweight title, okay, against Carlos Castro. Because he was the interim champion. Now, this is going to be the vacant title against Carlos Castro. That's going to be on the Shakur Stevenson.
That's a tough fight. that's not a layup. That's a very tough fight.
It's not. And Bruce Carrington also has... Let's see. One or two performances recently where he underperformed. Segawa, that was late 2024. And it could have been even his last fight where I was just kind of like, eh, you know? But
he's really good, though. He's a really good fighter. Yeah,
he is. Rafael Espinoza, his number one contender, by the way, right now is Brandon Figueroa.
That would be a great fight. It'd be entertaining as hell against the Heartbreak Kid. I think he beats him. I just think he's one of the most exciting fighters. And like when you take a look at his record, his knockout ratio, he's just fun to watch. Like he needs to be on this list. More people need to know about him. And so that's why he's my number 10. The only reason why I had him ahead of Oscar Collazo was because of how many fights he's had. And Oscar Collazo was obviously like my 11A. I did have an 11B. And I'll just say it quickly. It's Devin Haney.
So you're number 10. So I have a dilemma at number 10 that we're going to talk out live on the show because it has to be Teofimo Lopez or Devin Haney for me. Now, you would say it's Teofimo Lopez, obviously, because
I was going to yell that right now. I'm like, I'll let him talk. Go ahead.
The reason why I think I'm just going to put Teofimo Lopez on, even though it's going to be, oh, you're disrespecting Devin Haney again or whatever. And look, I understand he's undefeated. Controversially, and even if you remove the Ryan Garcia thing, I think even the Ramirez fight happened last year. It was awful. The Norman Jr. fight obviously was very good, but we're also looking at Norman Jr. a little bit like, a little sideways there. But here's why I think it ultimately doesn't matter who I put in here. Shakur Stevenson and Teofimo Lopez are literally about a fight. If Teofimo Lopez wins, Shakur Stevenson's off the top 10 for me. And if Shakur Stevenson wins, Teofimo Lopez is off the top 10 for me. So Devin Haney's going to be on this list for me after that fight, regardless of outcome, unless there's a draw and then I have some things to think about. So it's practically a tie between Teofimo Lopez and Devin Haney. I just don't want to tie a pound for pound top 10 list with 11 people. So we're putting in Teofimo Lopez there for me with an asterisk because he's about to fight Shakur Stevenson in a few weeks. And ultimately, Devin Haney is going to get the spot of the loser on this list. So Devin Haney's like in a roundabout way in my pound for pound top 10 list. He just won't be formally in there until February 1st.
Yeah. So the only reason why Devin Haney didn't make my list, and by the way, like I had a tie, I had a dilemma too. It was Rafael Espinoza and Oscar Collazo, and I just went with my guy. So that's literally what happened. So yeah. For Devin Haney, the reason why I didn't have him on the list is because he fought a Jose Ramirez who isn't the Jose Ramirez he once was. And that was one of the most boring fights I've ever seen in my entire life. And I think to be on the pound for pound list, you have to be a little bit of a like Devin is a superstar, though. I'll say that because I think people love to hate him. I just think he's a nice guy and he doesn't have to like play this villain. No, I'm telling you, he's a nice kid. And I was so happy to see him win against Brian Norman Jr. He just like annihilated him. And I was just like, was Brian Norman Jr. even good or was Devin Haney just that good? And I think Devin Haney is that good. Devin Haney also has a great resume. He has one of the best resumes, if you actually take a look at his resume. So, you know, despite that little blemish that will obviously be erased due to Ryan taking PEDs, even though he passed a lie detector test, I will say that I think it's just the competition because I'm like, was Brian Norman Jr. even really good? He fought a Jose Ramirez who isn't even like half of what he was. Hasn't been Jose Ramirez since he fought Josh Taylor. That was like years ago. And so when I take a look at his opponents, I'm just like, you know what I mean? I'd rather take an Oscar Collazo ahead of him. I'd rather take Rafael Espinoza ahead of him. Also, just when it comes to showmanship. But I think for Devin Haney, he's going to be on that list for me this year. It's just I need to see him fight again. Because now I'm like questioning myself is like, how good was Brian Norman Jr.? We didn't really know a lot from him, right? Like he just rose to fame out of nowhere. And then it was like, he's that guy. And it's like, well, is he? Like, because, you know, I think Devin Haney can beat anybody. Now, when a guy start moving up to 147 and 147 starts popping again, then we're really going to see who's the best. But Teofimo Lopez was also on the Last Stand podcast, and he did say that he plans to fight Devin Haney later in 2026. His plan is to fight Shakur and Devin Haney. I don't know if that's going to happen because that's boxing, but he is fighting Shakur. And there's always been talk. Brian, you were there. You asked Teofimo Sr. About this, right? Like you asked, like, are you guys going to be fighting or you were in the scrum or something? And apparently the fathers agreed that they wanted to fight each other.
This is before Teofimo fought Josh Taylor. You know what I mean? So this is a while ago. So we'll see. All right. So we have our pound for pound lists. We'll get to honorable mentions in a second. We got to get out of here. Here's Chantel's list. Inoue, 1. Usyk, 2. Bam 3, Bivol 4, Better BF 5, Benavidez 6, 7 Nakatani, 8 Teofimo, 9 Shakur, 10 Rafael Espinoza.
Had to do it.
My pound for pound top 10 list. Usyk 1, Inoue 2, Bivol 3, Bam 4, Better BF 5, Nakatani 6, Benavidez 7, 8 Shakur, 9 Oscar Collazo, and 10 Teofimo Lopez, soon to be Devin Haney. Of replacing Shakur or Teofimo, depending on who loses that, because he's 11. He's right outside the club waiting to get in. February 1st, Devin Haney will be on my pound for pound top 10 list. Let's look at a few other pound for pound top 10 lists before we get out of here. So the BoxRec pound for pound top 10, a little more analytical. So it's weird how this it gets put pieced together. Inoue's 1, Crawford's 2. They're still counting Crawford for now.
Yeah.
Nakatani next. Boots Ennis, 4. No consideration for me.
What? What am I looking at right now? Anyways, I'm going to shut up.
Analytical ranking. 5, Canelo Alvarez. Body of work, I'm sure. Shakur, 6. Benavidez, 7. Bivol, 8. Bam, 9. Better BF, 10. And then Haney, Tank, Lopez, and Usyk, 14. Which, again, analytical ranking. They have to fix how the data they have to fix that because Usyk should not be 14. I don't care what the data is like suggesting to me. And 2 spots ahead of Raymond Murataya. Come on.
Bruh, BoxRec, you need to get it together. This is the most trash thing I've seen since Kat had like 6-1-1 the other night.
You're 6-18 last night.
Against Detroit. I don't know, but this is trash on a Karl Anthony Towns level. I'll say this. Okay. Two I've never more. Been so mad. I've never yelled so much at a TV before. No, that's not true. I did a lot this year.
ESPN, Andreas Hale, had a list of a top 100 actually in December. Terrence Crawford was number 1. So, you know, we'll get him out because he's retired. Inoue, Usyk, Bivol, Bam. So this would be the top 4 after Crawford, but rounding out a top 5. better be if Shakur, Benavidez, Nakatani, Haney, and Canelo would be next, and then Teofimo, then Virgil Ortiz, then Boots, then Tank. Interesting. Sebastian Fudor is there. And then the Ring Magazine, pound for pound, top 10. Usyk 1, Inoue 2, Bam 3, Bivol 4, Better Biev 5. Look at that. Bam number 3 on their list as well. 6, Nakatani, 7, Shakur, 8, Benavidez, 9, Devin Haney, 10, Oscar Collazo. No Teofimo, but I do think if Teofimo beats Shakur, he'll be on everybody's list.
But I should talk. These lists are disrespecting Tao. I don't think I'm being for real, man. Like, I don't understand this. I don't know what he did to these people that are making the list. Like, he did something. He should be on the pound for pound list. He's the best 140 pounder. Stop it. Like, let's just stop the nonsense. But let us know what you think about our pound for pound list. Next week, we're doing the women's list. And remember, we're Thursdays every week from 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll probably go for an hour. Sometimes we go on tangents, maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. But please join us every Thursday. And next week, we're doing the women's pound for pound list. And we got some cool stuff coming up this year, y'all. And obviously, we'll probably be doing that post-fight show for Teofimo Lopez and Shakur Stevenson. Now, I kind of just want Teofimo Lopez to really beat Shakur. Because this is too much disrespect.
You should just bet on it. He's the underdog.
It's hard to bet against Shakur, though, man. He's so good. I'll say that. Like, that's, you know, props to Teo for taking that fight, though.
I just want to know what a focused Teofimo Lopez looks like against him. That's it.
I think it's going to be like Teo trying to get to him. Like, I also think about like the length and the size. Like, Teo's going to look small in that ring against Shakur. I'll tell you that much, dude.
Teo's plus 240.
I actually don't think you're so tempted. I'll say this. I don't think Teo's beating Shakur. Would I be surprised if he did? Yeah, but Teo's that good. I just think Shakur's really good. Like, I think Shakur is going to be like pound for pound number one day. And we're going to be talking about how great he is. That's what I think. But anyways, yeah. Brian, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I think Subra Matias beats Dalton Smith this weekend. I think
by knockout, Cavillo, rounds 9 through 12.
Late stoppage, I agree. I think that Yadier Herrera can get Ricardo Nunez out of there kind of early. And we'll see what Ajit Cavallo does with Damian Canaiba. I think he wins. He probably stops him, but Canaiba could be a tricky fight just in terms of the length, and we'll see how he uses it in this one. So, yeah, I think all three favorites in the bigger fights this weekend, they'll get it done. And the card at Barclays Center is not selling well. So the black curtains will be out.
All right. Well, by the way, drop your pound for pound list. Let us know what you think about our list as well. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And we'll be back next Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see you then.